How many of you feel your life is extremely busy? What do you think? You can be retired and extremely busy. You can be employed and extremely busy. You can be unemployed and raising children and extremely busy. You could be a caregiver of someone and extremely busy, and the list goes on. So we have this phrase about meeting ourselves, coming and going. And sometimes we feel we don't know which way to turn. Well, I need you to set that one aside. Because in today's lesson, when it talks about coming, it's not about your coming and going and meeting yourself that way physically. Because in today's lesson, in the gospel reading, when it talks about coming, you can translate it believing. Now, it is the word in Greek, coming. But the word coming is connected to our relationship by faith in Christ. We learn in the scriptures that we cannot generate, create faith on our own. And therefore, Martin Luther, a long time ago, you know, as he put together some of the notes for the catechism, you know, we talk about the explanation of the third article. I, by my own reason or strength, cannot come to him, you know, and on and on. It's talking about the physical and spiritual journey by our own power. But in today's lesson, it raises the question. Are you believing by the power of faith, which means coming to the bread of life, believing in the bread of life simultaneously? Or are you turning away to a completely different diet? To fill other passions? To make complete other notions and ideas in our head and in our hearts? The context for today's lesson, Jesus has fed the multitude. He's visited with his disciples. He has, you know, rescued them. He has again taught them, and he continues this theme, and it's a theme throughout the chapter. In this particular year, we've looked at John chapter 6 for several Sundays, and it seems like, and I actually had a pastor that I know from the community stop by to visit with me, and he goes, "How many times can you preach on the bread of life? Because this is not the first Sunday you've heard this." But I want you to take a look at the gospel, because I want you to look at what they raised as their questions that showed us they were going. They weren't believing. They weren't coming to Christ, but they were going away from Christ in their thinking and in their hearts. In verse 41, it says, "So the Jews grumbled about him." You ever grumbled about God? About Christ? Our confession of sin is that we have sinned against God, you know, and our sin includes not only, you know, what we've done that was wrong, taking something, borrowing something and not returning, breaking something and not replacing, slander and all those kinds of things. But our sin includes our rebellion, our grumbling against God. With the American culture proclaiming independence, you know, it might be offensive to Americans, but we didn't create grumbling. Okay, we didn't create the going away from God. Going away from God happened a long time ago. Going away from God is one of the biggest models is in the days of Noah. There was one household. Everybody else perished, and the Bible tells us why. They didn't believe. Their going included every kind of evil, every kind of wickedness, every kind of self-pleasure, every kind of selfishness, every kind of violence. That's what their path was going. But it started with the rejection of God, not believing. In Christ's day, as you take a look at today's gospel reading, what were they grumbling about? They grumbled, first of all, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. He didn't look like bread. He wasn't manna. He didn't taste like manna. It's not like they could eat him in that way, physically. And so who does this guy think he is? And you look a little further, and what we discover is that they think they know who Jesus is. In fact, Jesus is not allowed to be more than what they know. How do we get that? It's right there in the text. Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Has anybody ever, you put them in a box, you have stereotyped them, and you have categorized them, and then they surprise you? One of the programs on TV with America's Got Talent or something like that, you'll see this person come out on stage, you know, and then all of a sudden, if they're going to sing, you know, they just have this remarkable voice. And they amaze, you know, who would have thought that a little girl about yay high, you know, would be able to sing opera and hit the notes? Who would have thought a little fella, you know, skinny as a beanstalk kind of thing, you know, just would have such rhythm and tone and quality? Who would have thought? Well, when people looked at Christ, they already thought. They had reached their conclusions. They had not come to him. Instead, they were going spiritually away from him. They asked and grumbled, how does he say, I have come down from heaven? Again, Jesus cannot be more than what we think he is. He's of Mary and Joseph, not of God. And again, they rejected the truth that God had called them to come and believe. They did not want to believe in him. They did not want to accept him, not as Lord and Savior. They refused to believe that this one in the flesh is the Word incarnate, a phrase we would use today. They wouldn't use it so much in Jesus' day. And yet, the Gospel of John tells us, and the Word was with God, and the Word is. It was there for them to behold. The Holy Spirit was there for creating faith. And instead of coming, instead of believing, they turned away. They refuse to believe that Jesus is greater than Moses. How often we idolize people. We think they're the best. In fact, in so many ways, we have that debate, don't we, among mankind. Who was the best president? Who was the best governor? Who was the best basketball player? Best quarterback? Best running back? We have all of these rankings, you know, that we like to categorize, and who's the best runner, and the Olympics, you know, they'll talk about, you know, the world record is this, and will he break it? And then we have those athletes that showed that they were really human. And in their fear, they used substances that disqualified them. And when people break records, we often ask, what were they taking? Because we figure it just can't be done. And when Jesus did things that were remarkable, they didn't ask him if he was on steroids. They just literally accused him of being of the devil. This can't be God in the flesh. And lastly, they rejected that they were powerless to determine their own method of coming to Christ, that it had to be by the call of God. Sounds American, doesn't it? But it wasn't. It's actually right there in the text. It's people. People by sinful nature. Not coming, believing in Christ, but turning away. What does this have to do with us? We proclaim that we believe. right? But yet in our language, what does it sound like? And in our passions, what do they look like? Do we look for peace in the things of this world? Are we believing that peace comes from Christ? Our choices, the decision making, has turned more and more into intellectual solutions instead of spiritual living by the bread of life. We've tried to make a combination. It's as if we all have spiritual juicers, you know? And a juicer might take tomato and grapefruit and, you know, whatever they put in, and they're looking for all the nutrients that they can grab that would be best for body and soul. And it seems like that's what we're doing today. To find peace, to find joy, to find contentment, we're always trying new recipes and trying to find life in that sense. It's not uncommon that as we age, we recognize the frailty of those things, the inadequacy, the failure. And as we grow older, we recognize that all there is the faith. But what a journey it is, isn't it? In a way, spiritually, we say, well, we're coming, and then we turn around and going. You know? We're believing, but we're living the opposite. We're praising, and then we're grumbling. Paul writes about the dilemma. That which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I don't want to do, I do. You ever said, I'm going to keep my mouth shut? How long did it last? You know? Have you ever said, I'm not going to start an argument with, you know, such and such a person? And that didn't work? Have you ever thought, because of budget needs, you weren't going to spend any money, and then you spent money? Or you left the store completely depressed and grumpy and irritable and unpleasant to be next to? You know, it's amazing. These passions of ours, these thoughts of ours, they turn into a challenge. And God in Christ is the most remarkable news for you and for me. I can grumble too. He says, this is life, and it's Him. And it's free. There's no cost. He's paid the cost. It's the gift of Himself. And even though we die, we live. That's how powerful this life is. And we live in Him now, and ultimately we live in Him in the fullness in the kingdom of God. And we live in Him, no matter the frailty of our flesh, we live in Him. And His promise is that in Him is life, and on the last day, He will raise us up. How do we know that? Because He Himself is already arisen. You know, we have that Easter greeting, He is risen, the congregation says. Usually you say it a little sleepier because it's sunrise service. But think about it. He is risen. In Him is life. And the gospel teaches us about the bread and the water is synonymous with Christ, and believing is the receiving of the bread, the living bread, and the living water. And the water is described as a wellspring, and the bread is described as no hunger, and the water brings no thirst. And what happens is in the believing, the passions, all that gets us to turn, those are quenched by the power of faith, so that we live to the glory of God. Sounds easy, doesn't it, when I say it that way? But how long will it take for you to grumble sometime this week? Today? You know. And how long will it take us to try and find some other passion fulfilled? See, it's not wrong to have interest. We all have interests. It could be photography, it could be gardening, it can be anything like that. But in the sense, the Bible tells us where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. And the bread of life is the only diet that brings life. And believing in Him guarantees life. And so we have confessed our sins, and you have been forgiven by the one who paid the debt for your sin. And He has restored your heart and your mind in everlasting life this very day. And He has reminded you that the coming to Him is the believing in Him. The praying to Him is the believing in Him. And the turning to Him is to receive His Word in our heart and in our mind. So that daily we're renewed and we know why we have this diet of ours. This life in faith. Life by faith. Because apart from Him, there's only death. And God made it possible by sending His Son that death is not the only option. Are you coming or are you going? The question is, are you living or are you dying? In Christ, we live. Amen.